WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, July 3rd. Coming up, we'll hear a conversation with Highland Park Mayor Nancy Rotering, reflecting on the past year leading her community through tragedy and how that informs what she does in the future. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Power has been restored to tens of thousands of Illinoisans after Thursday's derecho blew down utility lines and many trees. But some are waking up to a fourth day in the dark. Many driveways in Champaign, Danville, and Urbana are lined with a collection of broken tree branches and trunks. Urbana 10-year-old Freya Vandergrift is concerned about the look of the neighborhood.
Someone who had like one tree in their yard lost their tree, and then it's kind of scary because you don't know what's going to happen. Because like if a tree is hanging from a limb, you don't know if it could just snap at any moment.
Emeryn, Illinois says over 28,000 customers are currently without electricity. That's down from 173,000 in the hours after the storm last Thursday. In Springfield, City Water, Light and Power says just under 10,000 customers are without electricity. That's down from 24,000 on Friday morning. A year after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, Illinois will release less data about who gets an abortion around the state. WBEZ's Kristen Schorsch reports.
The Illinois Department of Public Health today announced a shift in the way the state collects and reports data on abortion. They say the goal is to protect the privacy and safety of patients and providers. Illinois is a haven for abortion rights, and since Roe fell, abortion has been banned or heavily restricted throughout much of the South and Midwest. The state will continue to report summary data about the total number of abortions to residents and out-of-state patients. But they will no longer say which state's patients come from or break down the counties where Illinois patients live. Kristen Schorsch, WBEC News.
The openly queer members of the Illinois legislature are condemning the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in favor of a business owner refusing to serve same-sex couples. Mawa Iqbal has more.
State Senator Mike Simmons was Illinois' first openly gay senator. He says he's alarmed.
We're supposed to be the beacon of hope for the whole world in terms of democracy and human rights, and we are setting a miserable example right now.
And State Representative Kelly Cassidy, who is openly lesbian, says she's feeling fatigued.
To be in the LGBTQ community is to constantly be evaluating your safety, and this just erodes that sense of safety.
Reaction fell on party lines, with the Chicago-based Thomas More Society and other conservatives praising the court for protecting religious liberty. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The weather phenomenon that caused more than 200,000 people in Illinois to lose power, plus tons of tree damage last Thursday, is known as a derecho. Meteorologist Andrew Pritchard talked with news director Reginald Hardwick about how this storm began in the Rockies.
If you go back to Wednesday evening, an isolated supercell thunderstorm developed in southeastern Wyoming near Cheyenne and actually produced several tornadoes as it crossed into Nebraska. That single thunderstorm continued into Wednesday night, began to kind of grow upscale into a thunderstorm cluster. That cluster of thunderstorms then, all of that rain, it generates what we call a cold pool. And that cold pool is what it sounds like. It's a pool of rain-cooled air that is surging forward. And that becomes kind of the engine of the thunderstorm. And so if you think about late June, maybe July or August during the summer months, it's very warm and muggy across the Midwest. That warm, muggy air is thunderstorm fuel. So we've got a thunderstorm complex in the Great Plains that's generating a lot of forward momentum. And we've got a warm and humid air mass out ahead of it, that thunderstorm complex can move into and thrive on.
So you were saying earlier that having the storms in Wyoming was almost like a ball kind of moving towards the Midwest, and it just kind of gathered momentum.
Cold air is much more dense than warm and muggy air. So that warm and muggy air, it rises when it encounters that cold pool of air. So when that warm air rises quickly, it continues to fuel the intense updrafts of those thunderstorms. And so that's where it becomes a bit of a feedback loop where this storm is gaining momentum and it has nothing but fuel out ahead of it. So it does become a bit of a bowling ball that's just rolling out of the plains toward the Midwest. And that's really what we end up with a lot of these derecho events. It was a thunderstorm complex many, many miles to the west that has, you know, developed, generated some forward momentum with its cold pool, and has a lot of fuel out ahead of it.
What is a derecho?
Sure. A derecho is a especially long-lived and especially damaging complex of thunderstorms that's producing widespread wind damage. Now, that's kind of a term or a classification that we give after the effect, because it's the technical definition there is a damaging windstorm that traveled at least 240 miles, and that's with severe wind gusts of 58 miles per hour or higher.
What were you able to witness here in central Illinois?
I was watching the shelf cloud approach very, very rapidly, and that is a sign of a very strong storm that's producing some damaging winds when it's got that very fast forward motion. And so certainly right when that shelf cloud passed over in Farmer City, very strong winds swept through the town and tree branches immediately began coming down. So it was an immediate thing once that shelf cloud passed over that those strong to severe winds hit you. And the worst was over in about 5 to 10 minutes. And that is also very common with these lines of damaging winds.
What does it tell you that there's so much damage to large trees and then so many power outages?
Takes it to the next level when you've got a storm like this where you're driving across town or across the county, or in this case, across many counties, and you're seeing the same thing in every town or countryside that you drive across. It's these big trees that are either, you know, missing huge pieces of themselves, or in some cases, the entire trees have been uprooted. We've got power lines that are down. We've got, you know, people without power in cities across all of central Illinois. So what it tells me is that, you know, this will be a storm that is remembered for a while. It was certainly in a league of its own and produced a lot of significant damage to a lot of people. It's, you know, a lot of folks who are dealing with this and feeling the frustration here are not alone, because this was a central Illinois widespread problem storm.
That was Reginald Hardwick talking with meteorologist Andrew Pritchard. You can hear his forecast every morning here on WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9. He also provides emergency weather reports when severe storms happen here in central Illinois. Still to come, we'll hear a conversation with Mayor Nancy Roetering 1 year after the Highland Park mass shooting. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on The 21st Show, it's been nearly 1 year since the mass shooting at the Independence Day Parade in Highland Park, Illinois. 7 people were killed, dozens more were wounded, and countless thousands were terrorized. We'll look back and look ahead with a witness and the mayor of Highland Park. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Tomorrow marks 1 year since an event that many Highland Park residents never thought they'd witness, a mass shooting in their community. 7 people were killed and nearly 50 injured when a gunman opened fire from a downtown rooftop onto parade-goers and participants. Leading the city through that was Mayor Nancy Roetering, a lifelong resident who wanted to be in local politics, but now finds herself using her voice to help a national movement. Alex Degman has more.
Mayor. Hey, how are you?
City Hall is closed to the public on Mondays, but Mayor Roetering was just beginning a long day, starting the morning in a cavernous City Hall conference room adorned with books from floor to ceiling. She's been busy planning for this year's 4th of July celebration, a difficult thing given it's still hard for some to wrap their heads around what happened last year.
It was split second. It was, we're joyfully celebrating. What do you mean this has hit our town? That sinking, nauseating feeling of what's happened to my community, and then immediately saying we need to evacuate this parade route.
After hiding for several hours while police looked for the shooter, the emergency meetings began and national media interviews followed shortly thereafter. Lots of them, including CNN.
He was a Cub Scout in my Cub Scout pack. So many years ago, he was just
MSNBC.
That's a great question, and it's one that I asked the Illinois State Police, and they indicated to me.
And later that month, she testified before Congress.
Highland Park had the uniquely American experience of a 4th of July parade turn into what has now become a uniquely American experience of a mass shooting. How do we call this freedom?
Rotering wasn't always on the national stage. She started in political activism in 1983 by supporting Planned Parenthood and later advocated for stem cell research when her oldest son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. When she did enter elected politics, it was to help people with typical neighborhood things.
Frankly, it was marching on City Hall with my neighbors to get a stop sign in my neighborhood that I realized that City Council maybe needed some representation from folks who had kids in school.
She was elected to City Council in 2009 and became mayor in 2011. 2 years later, Highland Park made national headlines by passing a local assault weapons ban in response to the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. Her community's concerns were shifting from stop signs to assault weapons. The city's ban has been in place for 10 years. It survived one challenge and faces another one right now. Rotering says a lot of kids in Highland Park don't remember life before the local ban or active shooter drills, and that was evident in how they reacted to the shooting last year when compared to the adults.
Every single one of them said, "We expected this to happen in Highland Park." The adults were like, "How could this ever happen in Highland Park?" But the kids said, "We expected this to happen, and we expected it to happen in school."
Whether a mass shooting happens in school or at a large public event like a parade, witnesses to and victims of gun violence are more likely to suffer from PTSD. In fact, earlier this year, the federal government sent millions to Illinois schools to bolster mental health services for kids dealing with violence-related trauma. Rotering agrees that mental health, anger management, and substance abuse treatments for all who need those services have been, quote, woefully underfunded for decades. But she says guns are the real problem.
To me, it's not an excuse to ignore a true threat that is everywhere. This gun threat is pervasive, and it's harming us as a society.
The state of Illinois has changed since the shooting. It spurred lawmakers into passing a statewide assault weapons ban, which is being challenged in court. And the 4th of July has changed in Highland Park. Instead of a parade, they're planning a community walk to take back the route. The community picnic is returning. There's a concert at Walters Field featuring Gary Sinise and the Lieutenant Dan Band. Instead of fireworks, there's a drone show called We Are Highland Park. Rotering just won re-election, and she's solely focused on her community for the next 4 years. She says she'll use her platform to keep pushing for a federal assault weapons ban because she thinks her city and many others will be better places with it.
Right now, this country is a sieve, and we need to make sure that we go back to where we were when we were living free from this fear. Our kids don't remember that time, but we do.
I'm Alex Degman.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be mostly sunny with a slight chance of a thunderstorm late in the day and a high of 86 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Kristen Shorts, Mawa Iqbal, and Alex Degman. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.